You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Los Angeles Lakers and the LeBron James Show came to town on Monday to take on the Pacers. In one of the most competitive games of the season, it was back and forth all night before the Pacers finished them off, winning 105-102. For the Lakers, LeBron James led the way with 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists, but a down shooting night overall, only 8 of 20 from the field and 0 of 6 from 3. He was followed by Dwight Howard, 20 points and 6 rebounds, and a perfect 10 for 10 from the field. And for the Pacers, leading the way was Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner. Sabonis is 26 and 10, and 4 assists were the highest point totals and rebounds on the team, but Miles Turner was a 3 of 6 from 3 for 16 points, and Malcolm Brogdon's clutch play was just enough for the Pacers to defeat the Lakers and move to 19-9. Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful show. Now, today I'll bring you the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Pacers' win against the Lakers. And then we have to talk Aaron Holiday on the bench because he is on a stellar run right now. We'll do that later. The Pacers defeat the Lakers 105-102. Well, let's start with some good because there's a lot of good coming from this game. So I think the number one good is Malcolm Brogdon's clutch play. Not a great night, Brogdon overall. 6 of 16 for just 14 points, but a huge 3, huge 2 to close it out, basically, or put the Pacers up by 2 in the final moments of this game. He brought the team back. I mean, he filled the void that I think we've been calling for this Pacers team for a while. We didn't know who would step up in the kind of the clutch moments without Victor Oladipo. Aaron Holiday actually showed up for a couple games pretty well in the clutch. Against the Magic, at least, was one of them. But Brogdon really stepped in. They were down 5 with like 2 minutes left. He had a big 3. And then he had another 2, like I said, to give the Pacers the lead. I thought he played really good considering he was pretty much guarded by LeBron most of the night. He was sort of taken out by LeBron, who clearly is about 3 inches taller than Brogdon and probably has, 40 pounds on him. So it makes sense there. But a good night for Brogdon. Great way to end the game, kind of carry this team. This win is going to be critical for this team because they got a tough week because they played the Bucks and they have some tough games heading into New Year's Eve. So this game is a huge plus for them because it's one of the games for sure that you probably had marked as a loss originally. So to have that kind of in the win column makes up for some of the other ones, like when they lost the Hornets earlier this year, for example. Another good, because I don't want to do bad yet, Sabonis, 26 and 10. I think we should loop in Sabonis and Turner together. They seem to do that a lot at the Pacers. You know, I think Brad said after the game, the two bigs that tied them together. Well, so combined, the two bigs were 15 of 24 and 4 of 8 from 3 and 8 of 10 from the – or, sorry, 8 of 12 from the line for 42 points, 17 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 9 fouls. But that's beside the point. I thought Turner did a really good job spacing the floor. At times, he became a really good outlet pass in terms of when Brogdon was cutting or somebody was cutting the rim and just being kind of top of the key three-point shot. And when he makes 3 of 6, he becomes one of the most effective players on the court because simply he can stretch the floor, he can play defense extremely well, and then he's an offensive threat, or at least an efficient offensive threat when he's making, 40%+ of his threes. Sabonis, I mean, continues to be kind of the rock behind this team. Whether he's scoring or not, he is setting picks on every play. He's creating actions on offense with his body and with just movement that he creates. And then when he needs to, he just can put the ball in the hoop. I would have loved to see him make both for the end of the game. I think that's the one knock on him is that he went 1 of 2 late and that would have sealed the game. But, you got to make it interesting, right? The Pacers classic is make a game interesting because even when it doesn't have to be. He is just at a level that I think definitely warrants an all-star bid at this point. I don't know if it would be him or Brogdon or both, but right now Sabonis is just making a case that he is I'm thinking of centers in the East, maybe behind kind of the Drummond. He might even better the Drummond this year, to be honest, just because of total win totals and kind of the impact he's having on a winning team. But probably behind Embiid, the second-best center in the East. I know he's not playing center, I guess, per se. I guess he's playing power forward sometimes. But whatever he is, he's become one of the top front-court players in the league. He's up to 17.7 points per game. That will go up after today. Those aren't handling his stats. And he's 51% in 14 rebounds. I mean, he is putting a ridiculous stat line, and then they're winning with him, and he's a key part of them winning. He's played all but, I think, 2 games this season. He's played in 26 of their 28 games. Yep, I think I have that right. 26 of their 28 games. He's just been an important part of this team. He plays 35 minutes a night almost. There's almost not enough things you can say about Sabonis. It's just how good he is and how stable he's being for this team. The bad, I guess, would be the Pacers did not do a good job guarding Dwight Howard. Howard, who, again, is having kind of a late career renaissance. Let me look up his stats real fast. But tonight he was 10 of 10 for 20 points. He hurt them a lot. It seemed like, you know, in that fourth quarter when they kind of took a little bit lead with the bench, and then he came in and kind of Howard righted the ship, I guess, for them, might be the right way to put it, or kind of helped the Lakers kind of take a lead again with 5 points. That was not a commanding lead, but take the lead. So Howard this year is 72% from the field. He is putting not up a ton of points or a ton of shots, but his percentage and efficiency is so high, and he's looking at a guy who's like 7 rebounds and 7 points. But again, those numbers are misleading because he's really 72% field goal percentage, which is ridiculously high for a guy, and he's playing 20 minutes a game. He has definitely found kind of his late career spot. I mean, he's been searching it. I mean, looking at a guy who's played for 4 teams in the last 4 years, and you know, since he left Houston, he's just been Atlanta, Charlotte, Washington, really has been sort of a cancer on his locker room. He's been the Lakers. He's found his way with next to LeBron. LeBron tends to do that. He makes every guy look good. But he had a great night, and that kind of was the bad for the Pacers in that end. But, you know, I thought even he had a good night, they still managed to win, so there's not much you can say about that. The other thing I'll look at is when it comes to kind of bad, I guess, and this is not really, I guess, how to put it, it's not really a bad, but it's sort of a caveat, right? So Anthony Davis didn't play. So in all the ways, this is a good win. They beat a good Lakers team. Even without Davis, is probably still a really good team because they have LeBron James, who's the best player in the league, I still think. You know, he might not be MVP like Giannis, but he's still proven as kind of the king of the league until Giannis takes him down or until Kawhi really takes him down and Kawhi won the championship. But LeBron is still kind of the reigning king in my mind because he didn't make the playoffs last year. Maybe that's a hot take in itself. But with no Anthony Davis, this win comes with a caveat, and I guess it's considered not as good, not as, you know, glorious. But so that's kind of the bad that the people always say, well, they didn't have Davis, whatnot. But frankly, they're probably not going to play the Lakers team besides, you know, they'll play him one more time in LA, but they won't really play him like in a 4-game series. So in the grand scheme, I mean, look at the end of the year, you'll be like, well, they split the series with the Lakers, who are a really good team. The Lakers are probably going to finish with 60 something wins. So to say you split the series no matter what, presses it in itself, in my opinion. I know it's going to be kind of the caveat that there was no Davis, but whatever, that doesn't really matter. Back to some good, the bench. So I'll do a little Aaron Holiday later, but the bench continues to be sort of the thing that actually helps advance this team. So I think they were pretty much even the Lakers starting line, but felt like, you know, back and forth, maybe down 2, 4, 6 here. But the bench really extended the Pacers' lead or gave them the kind of a 5 or 6 point cushion that even the Lakers bench came back to take, or the starters came back, sorry, to take the lead by 5 late. They had enough of a cushion there because the bench continues just to be awesome. McConnell 5 of 8, Holiday was 4 of 5, McConnell 5 of 7, Holiday was 4 of 8. They both combined for 21 points and 8 assists. Holiday continues to kind of make that next step. He made a great pass to Sabonis, I thought, on a pick and roll. I mean, he just wasn't there a few years ago. Justin Holiday continues to be able to guard all 4 positions, basically, or really from 2 to 4 at times. McDermott, while not his stellar night, still hit a 3, which is solid for him, and just continues to be, I think, a throw out there. I mean, when he gets the ball, you can see defenses have to shift to try to stop him that 3-point shot. That's the focus immediately, and that creates stuff for other players at times. There's one point where I believe McDermott faked a 3, got the ball as a bonus, who just rolled to the rim and scored. So the bench is clicking. I know we can talk about it basically the last probably 5 or 10 games, or maybe even 20, maybe really 20 games now, but the bench is really clicking, and it's really the reason this team kind of keeps winning. I think the starters have been good, but really on a night where, like, Jeremy Lamb was in and out with injury, played 15 minutes, only had 4 points. Warren had a very, you know, inefficient night, 5 of 12 or 12 points. And Brogdon was really shut down by James. It was the bench that sort of helped this team maintain and extend leads, which is important to beating good teams because the Pacers are never going to have probably the best 2 players in the court when they play these best teams. When they play the Bucks, when they play the Rockets, when they play the Clippers, the Lakers, I mean, maybe even Philly, although I make a case Oladipo is better than Embiid at times. At least he has been in past matchups. But they're not going to have the best player on the court, but they're going to be deeper than all these other teams. They're going to have a better 6 through 9 than most of these teams. And that's where they have to win games, is the starters just hold their own, the bench extend leads, and then even when the starters are leading a little bit minus, the bench is still so good. I mean, I know people don't say, well, plus minus doesn't really mean that much, but if you look at the plus minus, right, really only 2 starters were in the positive. You had Brogdon at +1 and Sabonis at +13, and that's because Sabonis plays with the entire bench unit. He plays with them, and so, you know, all the bench was positive, +4 for Holiday, +1 for McDermott, +3 for Aaron Holiday, sorry, and McConnell was -2 because he played a little bit more of the starters. But that's the thing, is that bench unit, plus I imagine Sabonis too, that kind of, those 4 plus Sabonis is kind of the key to this team winning games because they can just bully other teams' benches in the right way to put it. I mean, they really can. I know Howard had a really good game against the bench, but the Lakers play Howard a lot of starter minutes too. So he played the fourth most minutes, and really Green played 28, Caldwell played 20, he played 26, so up there for sure, Ronald with the bench too. But still, it's those, let's call it the 2 minute in the first to the 6 minute in the second, and the same kind of thing in the third to fourth stretch where the Pacers bench can hold and extend leads. They're going to win a lot of games, and that's how they beat up on the bad teams, and how they'll beat a lot of good teams. Another good. The Pacers moved to 12-3 at home. I thought, after they lost those first two games at home, I believe they lost the first two at home. They're starting to flex their home court advantage in a way that's exciting to see. The crowd seems to be finally kind of getting into this team. I think to start the year there was some hesitancy from just Pacer fans in general, and I don't blame them. Oladipo, whole bunch of fresh new guys. Are they going to be good? Brogdon isn't like a household name. If you're an NBA junkie, Brogdon, you think he's good or not. But if you're, Joe Smith on the street, you don't necessarily know who Malcolm Brogdon is. You may have heard of him, but you don't know, you don't know him as some superstar. You don't know he's going to be this, how good he is right this year. But they're building momentum. They beat the Lakers now. They're just starting to kind of, they beat Boston at home. They're starting to beat some of the good teams in the East. We'll see how the next week or two if they can beat Miami and Toronto. They're starting to build momentum that I think people in Indiana are starting to notice. The Colts suck. That helps, certainly. Colts are garbage. The Colts fan, I can say that. They lost like 34-7 the other night. They're terrible. Sorry for Colts fans. I'm there with you. So I know that I'm sympathizing with you is in their suckiness. But they're starting momentum in the city as the team. They're putting together a three-year run where they've basically been the same. They got to get farther in the playoffs this year, but they've been a good regular season team, fun to watch, an exciting team. Oladipo, when he's back, just adds the level to this team, makes it fun. This team is just fun to watch, right? And so it's good to see they're 12-3 at home, and they're probably going to head toward hopefully like a mid-30 win season at home, maybe like low to mid-30s, maybe like 32-35 range at home. Because I think people in Indiana deserve it. I don't know how else to put that. This is kind of, if Oladipo comes back and this team can take their next level, this is the team the city has deserved. A team that's really built through a lot of shrewd decision-making, I think. Shrewd drafting in terms of a team that refused to tank after Paul George, that refused to trade him for, just draft picks and rebuild, and stubbornly said, we want to continue to be good. And frankly, they are good now. I know they're not on the Clippers, Lakers, Bucks level, but they're certainly on that level below right now, it feels like to me. And this game proved that, and this is the team Indiana deserves. And maybe, just maybe, Oladipo back and some kind of chemistry and a little bit jump somewhere else on the bench, this team could make a run towards at least the Eastern Conference Finals like they did those years, all throughout the 90s, all throughout the early 2000s, all throughout the late 2000s, early 2010s. And then maybe they get some injury luck or something happens, and finally something breaks their way and they're able to get to the finals or something like that, because that's what it takes. It's just being in position for something to break your way. So that you can, I think the Raptors are an example of this, right? They were waiting for something to break their way in the NBA Finals. They were not going to win that series if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson play, but it broke their way and they won the Finals. And then they got the championship. The Raptors deserve for all those miserable years of dealing with DeRozan and Lowry and those up and down playoff runs and having like seven straight first round exits and whatnot. So I think that's another good. If I had anything bad or ugly, the ugly, I guess, is I don't know what's wrong with Jeremy Lamb. I think sneakily, if Lamb got hurt some point and his season was over and Oladipo was slotted in there, eventually that would be good for the team. I think Lamb is sort of the most expendable player on the roster right now, in my opinion. Just my opinion. But no, you don't want a guy to get hurt. I don't really know a ton of what's going on with him. I believe it was something with his leg. But we'll see what the Pacers announce. It's a groin injury. So groin injury. We'll see what they announce coming out tomorrow. I guess they'll probably have a day off, but heading into Friday's matches, we'll probably hear more about it Thursday or Friday. He's been kind of dealing with injuries all year. He had the original hip injury, then I think he had a knee injury or ankle injury. He's just consistently been kind of banged up. So luckily, I think Sumner's returning, so they can maybe slot him in there if they need to. I know he went kind of down in the G League game, ended up being okay, so... that's a rumor that was out there. He's okay. So we'll see what happens with that. I think something to watch. That's kind of the only ugly from tonight's game that I personally thought. And then the last kind of good is the Pacers won. I know these Redskin games don't mean much in the grand scheme of things, but it's nights like these that make the Pacers fun to watch and you have to enjoy them and celebrate them in a way because they don't come that often, right? I know the Pacers have it's not often, I think a lot of teams, fan base in the league would die to have a team of the Pacers who just every year win 40-something games, upset a Lakers, upset a Spurs, upset a Warriors like they did last year, win a game like that, have exciting nights, have a game winners, have, exciting to watch every night versus like being in this continual cycle of just the bottom. You know, you can think the Magic or the Kings over the years or the Knicks right now. I mean, just the Pacers, you know, for the last 20 years, for example, the Knicks have made the playoffs like one time or two times and maybe out of one first-round series, but the Pacers have made it probably at least half to two-thirds of the times over the past 20 years. And it's just, even though it feels like this team isn't going to win a championship, it's just appreciating this team is fun to watch every night. They're competitive. They don't get blown out very often. You know, they don't give up very often, and they really fight hard, especially at home, to win games. So that's kind of the rosier side of this. I'll take a quick break, and on the other side, I'll talk about Aaron Holiday. Welcome back into Locked On Pacers podcast. So I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but Aaron Holiday is on a tear. The 23-year-old guard out of UCLA is making waves. I mean, certainly he's had a very solid year. I mean, let's be honest. He's definitely made a leap. At first, it was concerning because he was not playing. I think he was DNP coach's decision the first after game two and three this year, but then injuries hit the team and he was forced to start playing and he wasn't great for, I'd say, the first five games, but since then he's been pretty good. So, I mean, if you take, you know, his last 20 games per se, he's averaging 11.4 points on 45% and 39% shooting. That's very good. He needs to be super efficient. That he's certainly a huge part of that bench unit. He's starting to put up like some big games. So like he had 23 against Charlotte. He had 11 tonight. He had 18 against Boston the other night. He had 24 this season against Brooklyn. I mean, 16 against Memphis. He's starting to rack up a more consistent amount of double digit points, and he's also starting to find his ability to pass the ball. I know he had 13 assists against Brooklyn, but he's really starting to kind of figure out what's the right way to say it. He's really starting to read the court better. I think is the right way to put it. I think for a while I felt like he was a one-dimensional player. We're just going to take 12 shots and leave and just start to four. But it feels like now as he's played more with Sabonis and played more with McDermott and even McConnell and obviously his brother, that he's starting to kind of realize that, yes, he should take his open three-point shot if it's there, but he also should look to pass. He could use his, you know, he's starting to develop some recognition. I thought a really interesting play, and I know he did score on this play for the end of the third quarter, where he split the he got the ball on the perimeter and he could take it in the three, but he realized he got double teamed. He split the defenders, able to get around, and knew he was close enough to kind of throw up a shot. And he made it. It was kind of a weird circus shot, but he's starting to just recognize, I think, things and realize he's got just speed over people. He's got a great first step. He's quick. He's good with the ball in his hands. He knows how to make plays. And then he's starting to recognize defenses when they try to attack him, where he can go to a Sabonis. I think there was one point he hit Sabonis on a cutting drive for a dunk. He's just starting to do things. I mean, you know, he has probably more five assists plus assist games this year than he had last year. All, you know, that's not surprising. I mean, I think he had probably one last year, and this year he's got like five so far. And tonight he had another four assists with him. He's starting to build momentum, and I think really become the player that, you know, the Pacers so patiently said, we're not going to trade Mike Conley for you for. We're going to keep you over taking Mike Conley, which obviously is hindsight's a great decision, but because they believed in him. Now, Holiday's going to run into trouble eventually if he gets good enough, where he's going to be stuck behind Brogdon and Oladipo, although I think there's still a way to play Holiday, Brogdon, and Oladipo together with Sabonis Turner, and that could be just a weird, wonky kind of good lineup at some point, but that's crossing a bridge in the future. But he's really starting to come and kind of come into his own. I think my coach Tony thinks he's the best player off the bench. I think I would have to agree either. I mean, the thing is, each bench guy brings a different thing, right? So McDermott is very one-dimensional, but that one-dimensional he's so good at, it really helps kind of make it work. Justin Holiday, his brother, brings the ability to guard 2 through 4, which is just really important for the starters. You know, Holiday can just sit in the corner, make some threes, but really play good defense and guard those guys to be unselfish in that way. Sabonis, I guess, in the bench, within the unit, he brings just, you know, every little thing, right? The screens, the rolls, the dunks, the rebounds, all those things. And then McConnell brings a change of pace, an enthusiasm, you know, an energy. He's almost to me like McConnell's like what Lance wanted to be, but is actually somewhat efficient, so you have to play him actually in 15 minutes. And then Aaron Holiday, I think, brings the most talent off the bench in terms of he can play defense. You know, he's a decent defender. He's a good shooter. He's a good passer. He's got all the, you know, he does everything well. But together, they all kind of fit into one kind of puzzle piece. But I think he probably is becoming the most important player on this bench just because his ability to stretch the floor with that three, just when he continues to put up nights where he can put up like 15 points, he's always good to occasionally go off for like, 50% shooting and 15-plus point night, which is critical for that bench. And I do think he's becoming the player. I think he's slowly becoming kind of the sixth man right now. I think right now the sixth man of war would go between him and his brother, Justin Holiday, who has just been kind of the Pacers' like Swiss Army knife for everything. But if you just look at like if you're just looking at box score stats, which I know doesn't mean everything, he has a better numbers than his brother in terms of shooting percentage, I believe, in terms of points per game. So his brother's putting up only 7.8 points per game and shooting 41 and 38, while Aaron's right now at 43 and nine, almost 40% from three. I guess they might have his new stats in. They might have updated while I'm talking of tonight's stats. No, they have not yet. Okay, stand corrected on that one. But he's putting up better box score numbers than his brother. Not that, I mean, I think we all realize they're both important to this team, but he's certainly interesting to see what happens when Oladipo comes back, because I think there's a chance Jeremy Lamb kind of switches to the three, and or maybe you play him with the two and Holiday comes to starting point guard. I think certainly he's making a case that he can be the starting point guard. He's finally recognizing passes in a way that I think is impressive. Now McConnell is just doing so much that I don't know if you could replace him and whatnot, so that becomes a tough question, but he certainly earned himself. He certainly, you know, at the beginning of the year, it was concerning, like, oh, he, you know, the first, let's say, six games, he looked terrible, and it was concerning of, like, oh, is he even going to be able to be an NBA player? Now he's for sure earned himself to be in the rotation, playing 20-plus minutes, and I think as we close to the playoffs, if he becomes, you know, seems to be kind of the clutch player he is, he could be a very critical piece of this team in the playoffs. They did play him, they subbed him in late in his Laker game to shoot free throws, because he's a good free throw shooter, too. He's just... I mean, I can't say enough good things. I mean, to get a guy of who even could be kind of your sixth man of the 18th pick is just next level. Because, I mean, here's the thing I like to think about. So, with Miles Turner, you know, everybody kind of talks about, well, you know, he's not as good as he should be, blah, 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 this. Well, if you look at where he was drafted, 11th overall, there are not a lot of you're more likely as an 8 to 12 pick to probably be out of the league right now than be a starter in the league, for example, right? So, at the 18th pick, especially, you're more likely at the 18th pick to be a guy who's out of the league than a guy who's putting up quality minutes in the rotation, right? I think if we redrafted right now, you would probably see Aaron Holiday be more like a top 10, if not even top 5 pick. And then Miles Turner, the same thing. In that draft, he'd be a top 5 pick as well now. I mean, it's all relative, right? So I get there's this idea that, like, oh, well, just, you know, Aaron Holiday isn't becoming like Luka Doncic, for example. I mean, that's an unreal expectation, right? Luka's amazing, so that's probably unreal, but... And I'm mistaken. Aaron Holiday went 23 on 18. I don't know why I thought he went 18. It's definitely once it's the 20s, it's really dicey. But like if we were drafted right now, the draft, you know, the top picks would probably be like Aiden. You probably look at Aiden, Bagley, Doncic, Trae Young. Obviously, Doncic would go first, I think, in the draft. But then you start dropping down and you get Shea in there probably. But you probably take him over a lot of other guys. I mean, maybe DiVincenzo was taken before him. But you probably take Holiday over the four guys in front of him right now, over Zaire Smith, who hasn't really played a ton yet. You know, Miles Bridges even, and Mikal Bridges. I mean, he's, when you have a 23rd pick, be able to be a rotation player in his second season, you've hit your draft pick. I mean, there's nothing else to say. You've hit your draft pick. And I'm excited to see where he goes from here, to be honest. I think he's only going to get better and better. I think he's learning, especially from Brogdon, a lot. I think he's learning from McConnell even. I think he's got a lot of good veteran leaders in the team who are willing to kind of develop him and help him when he needs help, too. I think, you know, McMillan's a good coach for point guards, and I think Brogdon says a lot. You know, he follows McMillan's lead. I think McMillan, who was one of the best, you know, one not one of the best, but a really good point guard back in his day on a really good team, has a lot of wisdom to pass on to a lot of these guards in the league that I think is underrated in a way, too. So I'm excited to see where Holiday goes. I don't really know. I mean, I don't know what his ceiling is. I think his ceiling might be much higher than we all think, considering the way he's shooting right now and how he's taking, and he's not even a focal point of the offense, and he's putting up this kind of numbers, but I think we'll see, and I think he could play a really huge part in kind of leading this bench unit, it being what is kind of the difference between that between a second round and out Pacer team or a first round out Pacer team and an Eastern Conference Finals Pacer team. I want to know your guys' thoughts on Aaron Holiday. Tweet at Lockdown Pacer to give us your thoughts on him. I hope you guys have been impressed as well. If not, tell me why you aren't impressed. I don't really know where you would get that from, but maybe there's something I'm missing. You can tweet at me at FreemanAdam5 or my co-host Tony's at TeastNBA. As always, we bring you Locked On Pacers podcast 5 days a week. Bring you a general topic show tomorrow for Thursday because there is no game. But then Friday, we'll have a Kings preview. That is all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.